Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
For good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
Friends, you're among friends here on the Good Day Program 33. After the hour, continuing the conversation about what's going on in the world today, I'm Doug Steffen with my friend Kara Schillen, and you, all of us, are friends here together to try to work our way through. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree on how all the pieces fit together here. The discussion of what went on in Brussels continues for a few moments here. I'm looking at some of the comments that are coming in. Facebook.com/Good Day, Twitter at Good Day. Evelyn writes, terrible. I swear the world is falling apart. Crazy, angry people and crazy politicians. God help us. Here's a Jay in the Bronx, New York, with a thought on the terrorists and terrorism. Jay, go ahead. You have the floor.
Oh, hi, Doug.
Hi.
I mean, I heard you saying that you think we need a change of leadership because of this. Not because of this necessarily.
I just think that leadership, and I'm not talking just about our country. I'm talking about, in general, the world has weak leadership.
Well, that may be so, but, I think that it only hurts our ability to make cool-headed decisions when we are, where passions are inflamed by terror attacks, people are in fear. You're in the U.S., you're much more likely to get killed in a car crash, I think we just have to treat these things like criminal investigations. The best way to get terrorism is infiltration, not by sending troops and occupying, because all you're doing is helping them recruit. And it was exactly what Osama bin Laden's plan was exactly what George Bush did.
Yep, they fall right into the trap. You're right about that. Do you have children, Jay?
Yeah, I have two kids, and I'm a school teacher. So I have, hundreds of children every year that I teach. And, one of the things that I see with middle school kids in the inner city, is like a boy will tease a girl, and then she will chase him around the room. It's exactly what the boy wants, and you have to tell the kids to have restraint, and to be mature, and that if you ignore them, that's the way to get them. That's the way to marginalize them.
Let me, if I can take another minute of your time, penetrate into one more layer of your world with regard to this. How do you talk to your students? How do you talk to your own children about things like Brussels?
Well, the world is a dangerous place. Anything can happen anytime. These are kids that were, just born when 9/11 happened. So they've grown up in this changed society where we have less civil liberties and everybody's on the lookout all the time. And, it's just one more thing to put in perspective. I mean, you can get killed by gang violence. You can get killed by the traffic, issues. So, it's just one extra thing that they're living with in this society, because we have so much turmoil in the world because of the baggage of previous generations.
Mm-hmm. A lot to be said there, Jay. Thank you. Appreciate your thoughts. The Doug Good Day Program, 888-302-3688. 8-4. Here's Eric, who writes, if a Christian group got together and started killing people in the name of Christianity, like the KKK did, for example, would we call it radical Christianity? Would we blame all Christians for the acts of a few? Or would we drop the Christian part as to not offend all Christians? What liberals are defending is Islam, not terrorism, which are two different things. Islam and terrorism are, in fact, you are correct, sir, two different things. They are related to a point, but you make a point about Christianity, which was a very strong terrorist organization in the 1500s. The 15th century was full of turmoil created by the likes, and even in when Columbus came to America, that was all about spreading Christianity, or the Catholic Church, actually, to be specific, and it was guilty of horrendous things. So now you talk about what the Pope, who is a strong leader today, what does he have as an archive? What does he have as a legacy? Well, he's not responsible for that. any more than you're responsible for things that happened in our country, the atrocities that were done in the name of controlling other men. It was called slavery. You're not responsible for that. You weren't there. So, but the gentleman was correct. We have a lot of things going on in the world now that are baggage from problems created by, in some circumstances, more recent leaders, quote unquote, the likes of Cheney and Rumsfeld certainly felt here, but there are others who left a very, very negative legacy. So anyway, that's something we could talk about all day, but there's some really good thoughts and opinions going on here. Please keep expressing them as we move on to Cuba. Cuba. And the president's trip there, not so much the score or the focus on his going there, but what has been the ancillary effect? All of the businesses going there and the worldwide media looking at Cuba and what goes on there and what kind of a place is this? Here's a guy that I have great respect for, a radio host from Washington named Chris Kaur, who actually had this commentary on the president's trip.
The photo of President Obama strolling the streets of Havana is stunning. Mr. Obama is in Cuba partly to see a baseball game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban national team, but mostly as a way to further open the door to full trade and relations with Cuba. Many conservatives don't like this. They say Mr. Obama is cuddling up to a ruthless dictator, and that may be partly true. But we also have full relations with communist China, Putin's Russia, and Saudi Arabia's insanely repressive kingdom. What's the difference? The fact is that for more than 50 years, we've tried to freeze out the Castros with sanctions and embargoes. It didn't work. They're still there, and the Cuban people have been suffering. Let's at least try this new approach of holding out a hand of potential friendship. It'll be just as advantageous for us in the end as it will be for them. And when Raul Castro is gone, and he's not a young man, my guess is the new Cuban government will look a lot more like a democracy than a dictatorship.
I think he's right. There are a lot of really intelligent overviews of this situation. And I wish we would stop making it about the president and the trip there, although I will give him his due. This is something that was long overdue. We needed to have relationships with Cuba. We never should have turned our back on the island. So they were communists. They were. It was ignorant to continue. At the beginning, I understand, after Batista was bopped out, kind of like the same. Batista was our guy, even though he was a dictator. The mafia controlled him, and there was lots of gaming going on. A lot of people that were very corrupt there. But yet, it was a different feel. Well, when I was a kid, we used to hide under the stairwells. There were civil defense drills that went on, practicing what would happen if the Russians dropped nuclear bombs on us. It's the same stuff. And so are we any further? I don't know. I'd like to think we were a little more sophisticated than that. And we are in some ways, many ways, but still we're humans and we follow like sheep. All right, so as far as Cuba is concerned, some other Americans visiting Cuba that weren't there with the president. Here's a lady named Laura Harris, who is there to report on the baseball game between the Cuban national team and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Since we got to the ballpark about 9 o'clock this morning, we've been hearing some things about security, but it was pretty easy for us to get in. They just patted us down, checked our bags. We walked right through in about 5 minutes. With 55,000 people being in one space, you can imagine the security is tight. We talked to the commissioner of baseball today. He tells us all the security that's in place right now was already set for President Obama's visit. He says that is sufficient security, and even though what's going on in Brussels right now, they want to make sure that everyone still feels safe. We also got a chance to speak with some of the players today, and they say even though those attacks have happened overseas, they're hoping that won't overshadow all the excitement these people have here in Cuba.
We're having the time of our life as well to be able to come out and representing America, you know, representing America, representing the states, and it's for a great cause. And hopefully everything over here, it gets better, you know, and we continue to grow and we continue to come over, and they get to come over and play in the states.
And other Rays players we spoke with say they're just hoping that this relationship between Cuba and the United States really does get better, because they say the talent here for baseball is truly extraordinary.
Well, it is. A lot of great baseball players coming from not only Cuba, Dominican Republic, Haiti, we know that. By the way, Tampa Bay beat the Cuban team 4-1. Here's Jordan Reynolds from USA Today reporting on the first deal for cruises to be made with the Cubans.
It's official. Cruise giant Carnival will launch its first voyages from the USA to Cuba in May. Carnival's parent company, Princess, along with eight other cruise brands on Monday, announced the Cuban government had approved its plans to begin sailing to the island nation out of Miami. The cruises, which are already on sale, will be operated by the company's Fathom brand and will take place on its 704-passenger Adonia vessel. Fares start at $1,800 per person, excluding Cuban visas, taxes, fees, and port expenses. Included are meals on the ship, onboard experiences, and several on-the-ground activities.
All right, so what I'm looking for is faster internet so I can take myself down to Cuba and we can do a radio program from there. Here is Brett Perlmutter from Google.
I think that the energy and the feedback that we're getting from our counterparts in Cuba is that there's a lot of excitement about expanding access to technology and the internet.
They virtually don't have any. So for them, anything is an improvement. 44 past the hour.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know that your passwords are very, very predictable? And it's not difficult for thieves to figure them out. Here's the social science of it. 90% of passwords are highly familiar. Most use their name, children's or partner's name, even a pet's name. Teens use passwords associated with celebrity idols, cartoons, Homer Simpson, or Madonna. Those are the two most popular fantasy passwords. Some passwords are very sexual. Finally, only 10% of all passwords are cryptics and use strange-looking, boring, and unintelligible collection kind of gobbledygook numbers and letters. What's the cheap psychological trick? Go with boring passwords. Don't go with something that's top of mind. Never, ever give a hacker an even break. Did I nail your password? Let me know at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Today on App Check, Jelly Car 3 is a driving platform with puzzles and 50 levels. Use sticky tires to climb walls or rewind to correct mistakes. Jelly Car 3. It's a hit.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Think green. Harrison with you. Did you know that to produce just 2 pounds of boneless beef, it takes 12 pounds of grain, 72 pounds of coarse grains in pasture, and 40 gallons of drinking water, and that's just to end up with 2 pounds of beef? Here's how to look at this, because the numbers are really mind-boggling. For what cattle requires, you actually save more water by not eating a single pound of beef than you do by not showering for an entire year. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
His gold shoes were as unforgettable as his 4 Olympic gold medals. He made history at the 96 Games by winning both the 200 and 400 meter races.
Michael Johnson is in front. They're in the hole straight away. He's got it. World record Superman flies again.
So where is Michael Johnson now? Michael's training center in Dallas is an official training partner of the Cowboys, Stars, and FC Dallas. He's a motivational speaker, and he wrote a book called Gold Rush. In 2010, Michael was a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice. And who can forget the commercials he did for Nike?
I was running in my Arizona Spiridons and heard this little girl say, "Mommy, why is that man all blurry? Why can't people see the real me?"
Because you're just too dang fast, Mike. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
47 after the hour. Rich McFadden off for the rest of the week. Jennifer Horn still suffering from the aftermath of her retina problem. She'll be out another week, it would appear. So Kara Schillen and I are happy in this hour to be here and round up some more information with thoughts and opinions about Raymond Moore being on our mind right now. You probably never heard of this person before earlier this week. And if you didn't hear about him earlier on, let me give you a little background on him. He was a tennis pro for a long time. He then became a tournament director, probably as someone that most of us never really cared much about until he made these comments about the ladies in the Women's Tennis Association.
In my next life, when I come back, I want to be someone in the WTA because they ride on the coattails of the men. They don't make any decision and they're lucky. If I was a lady player, I'd go down every night on my knees and thank God that a Roger Federer and a Rafa Nadal were born because they've carried the sport.
Stupid. Here's Serena Williams, probably the number one female tennis star in the world, with a response.
In order to make a comment, you have to have history and you have to have facts and you have to know things and you have to know of everything. I mean, you look at someone like Billie Jean King, who, you know, who opened so many doors for not only women tennis players, but women athletes in general. So I feel like, you know, that is such a disservice to her and every female, not only a female athlete, but every woman on this planet that has ever tried to stand up for what they believe in and just being proud to be a woman.
Well, you're much more measured than I would have been.
What she also mentioned yesterday was she just reminded people that the women's U.S. Open final sold out before the men's last year. So, you know, people are obviously going to see women play.
I'd rather watch women play than men any day, but we're going to be a tennis watcher. Here's Victoria Azarenka, who defeated Serena Williams to win the Indian Wells tournament. Moore was in charge of that. Here's what she had to say to anybody anywhere who makes these kind of comments.
My thing is, I don't understand any man comments in general towards women, because as simple as that, you, every single person on earth was brought and was born by a woman, right?
Right.
So, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's a good comment. Right. And then you should remember that.
I think that's enough said. All right. Enough said. That's pretty much it. And other than Moore is from the Cro-Magnon era, it just don't, it has not to do with being politically correct. It has to be with being, has to do with being fair and right. And neither of those things seem to apply to what he had to say.